If you remember last week, we started a series called Victory Vision. Basically, as the church, who are we? Who are we as a church? Last week, we talked about our foundation being on the rock, our foundation being Jesus Christ and Him alone. And today, we're going to talk about the other aspect of what I believe, in my opinion, as a church. We've sort of missed the mark the last 6 months or so, in my humble opinion, and what I've seen and what I've heard. And I believe that today, we're going to have that breakthrough. We're going to learn from what we've done the past 6 months, and we're going to move forward together and stand together. Amen?
Amen?
So in Colossians 3, verses 12 to 17, says, "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved," listen to these things, "compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs." If you want to know why we sing songs in church, there's a good example why. "With thankfulness in your hearts to God." Verse 17, "And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Lord, we thank You for Your word. Speak to us, all of us, through it. And we thank You for it, for what it will accomplish in our lives as the seed is sown today, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. The title for this morning's message is, "We Are Family." We are a family. What we need to understand in this passage is Paul writes about putting on the new self. That's what he's talking about in chapter 3 in Colossians. He's talking about putting on the new self to the Colossian church. We look at all these things that he says of how these people are supposed to treat each other, right? We went through those things. He talks about that stuff. It says that the first thing I want to talk about today in general terms is that we should care for each other. We should have genuine care and love for one another. And that doesn't matter if it's somebody you spend a bunch of time with, or it's somebody you don't hardly see other than here. How many of you know the body of Christ should not have favorites within the body of Christ? You don't believe me? Read what James says about favoritism in the book of James. He pretty much says that favoritism is forbidden in the body of Christ and in the things in the kingdom of God. But we should care for each other. When he says in verse 12, Colossians 3, verse 12, to put on these things, he's literally saying to clothe yourself. That's a literal definition of that. To clothe ourselves with these things. Clothe yourself. Clothe yourself with compassionate hearts and kindness and humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another. And if somebody has a complaint against the other person, forgive them. Just the same as Jesus has forgiven you. Put these things on. What's it say? Wear them. Make them a part of who you are. It's important for us to put on these things. That when people see us, they should see that we wear compassion. They should see that we wear kindness. They should see that we wear the fact that when somebody wrongs us, we're willing to forgive them just the same way that Jesus has forgiven us.
Amen.
They should see those things about us. All of that stuff. What does it say in verse 14? It says all of these things are bound up by love. And it says love brings all of them into perfect harmony. Love is so valuable. It's the foundation. What is God? Scripture says, I believe it's in 1 John 4, that God is love, right? God is love. In Galatians 5, you start talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23, what's the very first one that's mentioned? Love. In this passage, Paul writes to Colossians, the Colossian church. It says all of these things, you know, compassionate hearts, all that stuff, it's all bound together in love. It's important to understand that all of these attributes are selfless. Every single one of them are selfless. In our flesh, when somebody wrongs us, do we want to forgive them? In our flesh, the answer is no. Instead of forgiveness, our flesh wants to respond with revenge.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You hurt me, I'm going to hurt you back. It's like little kids. Right? You hurt me, I'm going to hurt you back. And I'm going to hurt you worse than you hurt me. Can we agree with that?
Yes.
Right? That's what we see. That's how we respond often if we're not careful to guard our hearts. But I want to read to you even more specifically. Listen, I'm going to reread verse 15, but I found it in the Message translation. And I want you to listen how the Message translation reads this. It says, "Let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other." in step with each other. None of this going off and doing your own thing. And cultivate thankfulness. Now, when you heard me earlier say that I feel as a church that we've kind of, you know, not that we're totally off the wall or anything, but where we've kind of missed the mark a little bit these last 6 months or so. Specifically, it has to do with what we've even said that we would found ourselves on as a church. How many of you remember, and I've preached this about a million times, so I would hope everybody's hand that's been here very long would go up, that I've preached out of Acts 2:42 and said that this church at Victory Christian Fellowship, we were going to be founded upon the principles set there, and there's four things. Said that they would devote themselves to the apostles' teaching, so the teaching of the word, the breaking of bread, the fellowship, and prayer. And you've heard me say that two of those connect us with God, two of those connect us with one another. And in my humble opinion, and what I've seen these last 6 months, and all these things that are going to change, and things that we're going to scale back that you're going to see over the next few weeks, I believe it's to get us to refocus on the fact that we need each other. I have seen so many people, and this is not based on one isolated incident. I've seen it myself. I've had various people come to me, not with complaints about other people, but just how they feel lonely. How they feel that they may come in on a weekly basis and nobody even reaches out to them at all. Nobody connects with them. They feel like nobody prays with them or for them. And listen, some of that is people that need to be a little stronger mentally, right? And stronger in the spirit. But there's another aspect to that too. And that's the body of Christ is supposed to connect with each other. We're supposed to love each other. We're supposed to take care of each other. And I found that it seems that we're doing a really good job. In my opinion, we're doing okay on the devoting to the teaching of the word and devoting to prayer. But the devotion to one another, I feel, is lacking. And that's why when I say a refocus or a reboot or a reset button or kind of doing that kind of a mentality, what I'm saying is it's time for us to not only focus on God. That's the primary thing. That's your duh moment of the day. We know that. But we need to focus on how we can serve one another. Now, that's a passage of Scripture not mentioned in my sermon today, but in 1 Peter, I said it earlier. Why have we been given gifts? 1 Peter 4 tells us that we've been given gifts in order that we can serve one another. The talents that you have are not just so they can be dormant or so you can build up yourself or receive clout from man. The talents you've been given have been given to you in order that you can use them to build other people up and encourage them. It's important for us to understand our need for each other. How many of you know what the word devoted actually means? It means to wait on something constantly or to continue in something all the time. Not being distracted. How many of you know that when you've got your mind set on something, you're going to do it no matter what's going on around you? Like if I've got my mind on going out to eat, I love all y'all and I'm going to think about it, but I guarantee you that when the service is over, I'm going to be in the car and saying, Morgan, it's time for us to go eat. Amen? My mind's set on it. I'm devoted to it. We're going to eat in Jesus' name. Right? But that mentality has to stay not only between me and God vertically. That mentality has to be between all of us horizontally. I should care about you and you should care about me. Don't tell me if you don't because it'll hurt my feelings in front of all these people. I should care about you just as much as I care about you. But it's a mutual love and a care that when I see my brother, Jade, in a bad spot, you know, whether it's a post on Facebook or he texts me and says, brother, I need prayer or whatever else, I may not even know about it, but I might even just hear it through a grapevine that he's having a rough time. That I take enough time to get off my rear end when I'm sitting on the couch watching TV, do something productive with myself and say, you know what, Lord, be with my brother. Be with my brother. Strengthen him. God, I may not even know what's going on. I may not know what he's dealing with right now, but strengthen him. Help him out. Meet him where he's at. For some people, you might be the only person that hugs him all week. They may not see anything of any sort of affection whatsoever, other than when they come here. We need each other. And I'm going to tell you something else. Not only do we all need, I need you. People want to put me on some sort of pedestal like I'm something special. I'm just an old hillbilly from southern Indiana, and I need Jesus just as much as anybody else. You were really quick to say amen there. She said, that's right. I need prayer. Morgan needs prayer. It's not just about you guys coming to us with stuff. Listen, I understand as a pastor, there's some things I can't come to you with because it would mess with your heads too much. I can't believe pastor actually struggles with stuff. I can't believe he has a hard time. I thought he was happy-go-lucky all the time. As a matter of fact, I believe there are several people like that in this church that you would look at and you would think, you know what? They look like they got it all together. They don't ever have any problems. That reaction is exactly right. Yeah, right. We all have stuff. We all have things that we deal with. So what does that mean? We all need each other. It's that mindset in Ecclesiastes 4 that says, when we are surrounded by others, he says, woe to the man who is by himself, because when he's by himself and he falls, he doesn't have a brother to help lift him up. But the one who is with somebody else, thank God. Because when Jake falls, I can reach down and pick him up. But being devoted to fellowship, guess what the breaking of bread is? That's literal. I'm just talking about eating together. Simple stuff. Whether it's a ministry like Alpha coming up, something else I haven't announced yet, we're going to do home groups after Alpha's done, so get ready for that. We're bringing the kids back in here for worship on Sundays, get ready for that. I'm just telling you, it's time to refocus because we're family. We've lost that. We've lost it. We've got too many people that have come in week after week, and they're hurting, and they're too scared to say anything about it. You know why they're too scared to say anything about it? It's because there's no relationship. I may not share things with some of you because I'm your pastor, but it also is this. I'm not just going to share anything with anybody. The people that I'm close to, the people that I love, the people that I trust, I can confide in them because there's relationship that's been established. And there's people that come into this church. They don't want to admit who they are. I haven't had many people come to me and say stuff like that. But I'll tell you this. I guarantee it. There are people in this church right now that come in here week after week and they're hurting and they have nobody to turn to except God because they don't have relationship with anybody here because nobody's willing to reach out to them. How many of y'all know there ain't no black sheep in the family? Amen. It's a true statement. There's nobody that we should shove to the back of the church. There's nobody that we should forget about. What did Jesus say? I'm going to read. This is not even in my message today. What was Jesus' purpose in Isaiah 61? He quotes this in the New Testament, right? This is a prophecy about Jesus. Why did he come? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord's anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who were bound. Guess what? To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Who is he reaching out to when Jesus quoted this? He stands in the synagogue. He pulls out the scroll and he reads that. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And then he starts talking about reaching out to the poor, the brokenhearted, the captives. And we want to build relationships with everybody who's got it all together. Well, I got a newsflash for all of us here today. Ain't nobody got it all together. Amen. And all God's people said. Amen. We all like Acts 2:47, it says, and it added to their number daily those who were being saved. Why did that happen? Because they did that. Guess what happened with them too? Y'all think we meet at the church not enough? They met every day. It says they gathered daily. They gave each other money when they needed it, food when they needed it. They took care of each other. But another thing I want to touch on today is not only should we care for each other, we should offer each other grace. Check this out in Colossians 3, verse 16, as I go back to that passage. Colossians 3, 16, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts. Guess what the word thankfulness is in the Greek? It's the Greek word charis, which means grace. So reread that. It says, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with grace in your hearts to God. Singing all those things with grace in your hearts to God. That doesn't necessarily mean grace to God. Why would we need to give Him grace? He's perfect. But having grace for one another. You've heard me give the definition, but I'm going to actually read it to you word for word. The definition for the word grace is goodwill, loving kindness, favor of merciful kindness, by which God, exerting His holy influence upon souls, turns those souls to Christ, keeps them, strengthens them, increases them in Christian faith, knowledge, affection, and kindle. Listen to this. If you don't catch all of that, listen to the last part. And kindles them to exercise the Christian virtues. So God's grace pushes you to live a life worthy of the calling, worthy of being a child of God, living in purity and righteousness. We have to have this understanding amongst ourselves that we're going to make mistakes. That includes me, in case you didn't realize that. That includes my wife and my children, in case you didn't realize that. That includes you just as much as it includes us. We have to understand that we will make mistakes. We are not perfect people. That there might be a time that something small that is said by one person might hurt somebody else's feelings. But if we live with thankfulness in our hearts, or grace in our hearts towards one another, we have the ability to forgive just the same as Jesus has forgiven us. When we understand that people are going to mess up, it helps us to have that grace. Sometimes we expect more out of other people than we do ourselves. We know that we aren't perfect, and that's okay. But when somebody else isn't perfect, we become offended. When somebody else doesn't meet our expectations, we become upset. You know, I preached on this a few weeks ago, talking about Aaron and Hur and how the body's supposed to stand together and moving forward together and all that stuff. But the Lord showed me, again in Hebrews 10, 23 to 25, that we should hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Consider how you can stir somebody. Think about what that says. Consider how you can stir somebody else up to love and good works. That doesn't say figure out how you can do love and good works, does it? It says let us consider how to stir up one another. So God, give me wisdom so I can help this lady grow in a relationship with God. God, give me something. If there's a word that you have for me to speak, if there's something that I can do to help my brother right here, show me what it is. But the problem is it's that consumer mindset in the church where we come in and try to get everything that we can. How many of you know that that's not what church is about? Listen, there's nothing wrong with coming in with your needs. When you're going through stuff, there's nothing wrong with coming to the altar or coming to a brother or sister and saying, I need prayer. I need help. But the problem is, in many cases, that's all that we make it. If life is good, we just kind of show up and we clap and we sing and we have a good time and whatever else. What would happen in the body if we started to come in with the mentality of God, use me. God, use me for somebody else. Do you not think that God has the power in and of Himself to meet every need? I believe when we come in with a selfish mindset, when we come in with that mindset that I'm going to get mine, we're telling God we really don't care about His agenda and what He wants to accomplish. Whether that's a church service or at work or wherever else, if we're so focused on our own issues and our own needs and we have no desire to be used by God to help other people, I believe the Lord looks and He says, you know what, I love you, you're my child. But there's a reason that He gives us discipline at times too, right? Says, yeah, I know you have needs, but what about the gifts and the talents that I've given you to serve other people? Just like Aaron and Hur had to hold Moses' arms up, everybody needs their arms held up sometimes. Nobody's immune to that. I believe there are people that come in and they're in that position, but they wouldn't tell anybody that. It can be as simple as going up to a brother and giving him a hug. Hey, man, I love you.
I'm praying for you. How many of you know it's all right to tell brothers and sisters in Christ, I love you? I've had people that have just started coming to this church over the past year. They'll be new to the church. Like, you guys say you love each other a lot. And I'm going to step on some toes. I hear it a lot more from the men than I do from the women. And I'm telling you, men, right now, just keep your mouth shut as I continue to preach, all right? I only have to go home with one of these. You got to go home with your own. So if she's going to be mad at anybody, let her be mad at me and not you. Amen? All right. There's an understanding that we need each other, right? We've said that. We should be clothed in all these things, all these traits. It's supposed to be bound up in love. We should offer each other grace when others fall short. We should pick each other up. We should stand together and we should move forward. And there's a reason that today's message is not being streamed. It's because I'm going to call out something specific that needs to be dealt with now. And it's a spirit of offense. The spirit of offense. I believe that's harbored by the church itself failing in areas that we should be doing well in, loving each other, taking care of each other. But I also think it's a spirit of unforgiveness. When somebody falls short, we harbor an offense against them instead of forgiving them, understanding that they're not perfect and we're not perfect and we're all just trying to grow closer to God individually and together. And I don't say that to come down on the women of the church, because I think there are so many wonderful women in this church. And I'm so grateful for all of you. You've been a real blessing to me, to my family. You've been a blessing to this church. But I believe that you can never deal with something and could totally get past it if you keep sweeping it under the rug. So I'm calling it out today. And we're going to pray it. It's going to be broken. And I'm just going to say this right now, that if I see it start to manifest, I won't call you out in front of the whole church, but I'll pull you to the side with my wife, since you're females, and I'll tell you to cut it out. I love you. I love you. I love you. And I'm not trying to be rude, but if we want to move forward, it's time to deal with the nonsense and get it out. Not your turn. And just so you guys know, this has been happening to me about this for the last probably month. We got to stop being lazy, man. Suck it up, buttercup. I'm going to say this. When the body of Christ gathers together, we should set the example for our families. It's time to be here. Not because of church attendance. Don't misinterpret this. Oh, he just wants to build attendance numbers. No. I want to build men of God up. Strengthen them. We need each other, right? So when there's opportunities to be together, shouldn't we be together? When there's opportunities for us to even just something simple as praying together. You know, whether it's a men's breakfast or an alpha group, or when home groups start after alpha finishes, or an overflow service or whatever else. Guys, our wives are looking to us for the example. And if all we want to do is sit on our butts and watch football every Sunday and we don't want to get out and do anything, we are setting the example for the family that it doesn't really matter. We need each other. And men have this mindset of being so masculine sometimes. We put up this facade like we don't really care, but deep down it kills us because we feel like we're floating through life by ourselves. And it's the same thing I told the ladies. It's not just that we're lazy. It's not just that we're lazy sometimes. And I'm not trying to make a blanket statement and say, everybody, oh, y'all lazy, don't do nothing. We have to understand that when we really feel like we need each other, we make the effort to reach out to each other. That being together actually matters. Women, it's the same way. It's the same way. I want everybody to look around. Guys looking at the guys, girls looking at the girls. Seriously, look at the people who are here today. Do it now. Look. Don't just look at the people next to you. Look around. All right, now look at me. I'm going to tell you something. Now, we're going to close in a corporate prayer together here in just a minute. But I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me. I guarantee that each and every one of you looked at least 3 or 4 people who are going through a really hard time and you have no clue about it. At least. At least. You probably saw a handful of people who are dying for somebody to just reach out to them and say that they love them, that they care. Don't be the person that the Lord speaks to and you let it go in one ear and out the other. You walk by somebody, maybe it's just, hey, how you doing? Maybe it's, I feel like the Lord wants me to pray with you. Would that be okay? If they say no, that's on them, all right? We talk about living in a way that's led by the Spirit. We got to be willing to listen to Him, right? You know, there's been so many times, how many of you know, I mean, obviously today should be pretty well evidenced of that. I'm not afraid to look stupid. I'm not afraid to look dumb. I'm not. I used to be, but I'm not. I've always done this. Or I should rephrase that. I try my best to approach it this way. That if I have any question, whether I've heard from God or not on something, if it's something as simple as giving somebody a hug, guess what? I'm going to give it to them. If I don't know for sure, if God said, hey, Aaron, go pray for this person, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to pray for them. Come on. What's it going to hurt to you to go and pray for somebody that whether you know for sure if it's right or not? I can't tell you how many times where I wasn't sure, and then I'll go pray for somebody, and they'll look at me with tears in their eyes when I'm done praying and say, my God, you have no idea. How many opportunities have we missed because we've been unwilling? How many people's lives could we have changed that we haven't because we've been unwilling? How many people's lives have we not changed because we've been lazy or because we've been walking around with a fence because we're ticked off at Sister So-and-so because she didn't say she liked my hair yesterday? Or she doesn't hang out with me. I'm going to say this with love, but also with some firmness. I think that we've already done the cry in the river. Now it's time to build a bridge and get over it. Move on. I told you corny jokes are all on today. Move on with your life. You got a problem with somebody? Guess what? Read Matthew 18. See what that says about it. Say, it doesn't say go call sister or brother so-and-so and say, I'm so mad. It says go to your brother. Go to whoever it is that you have an issue with and discuss it with them one-on-one. You cannot control what other people do, but you have a responsibility to react to whatever situations you face in life with a godly manner. Because we are responsible for our light. When people see us, what kind of clothes they see us in? Do they see compassion? Do they see humility? Or do they see somebody who's walking around with a spirit of offense because she's ticked off about something or he's ticked off about something that really, in the grand scheme of things, means nothing? So I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. We're going to stand together.